Well, I'm David Reed. I'm here at the KHSU Magazine, and in the studio with us is Thad Greenson from the North Coast Journal and Jennifer Famico Cahill from the North Coast Journal. Thank you, editors. Are you editor-in-chief, Thad?
No, we have a co-editor structure, so I'm the news editor.
You're the news editor.
And I'm the arts and features editor.
Wonderful. And we're back again to talk about what's coming up in this week's issue. Hits the stands.
On the stands now.
On the stands right now. So what's inside?
Well, the primary news piece we have this week is about Marcy Kitchens having pleaded guilty in her criminal case. For those who haven't been paying attention, Marcy Kitchen is the Fortuna woman accused of a double fatality hit-and-run collision in July of 2016 when she was driving drunk on Eel River Drive and ran over two 14-year-old girls, Kia Kitchen, her daughter, and Faith Sarnas. And the case has kind of languished for a couple of years. There's been starts and stops and a lot of community frustration about the pace. And there was a big shock on Monday when Marcy Kitchen walked into court and pled guilty as charged.
And that was a total shock. And the whole case has been like a gut punch, you know, over and over and over again. And then 2 years, does anybody have any clue why there was the guilty plea now?
No, at least, I mean, I'm sure Marcy Kitchen and her attorney have some clue, but there hasn't been anything released publicly about why she made the decision she did when she did. You know, it seemed that they were very much preparing for trial. There was a trial date set next month. They were preparing a change of venue motion to try to get the trial moved out of Humboldt County. It seemed like they were, you know, pretty entrenched in defending the case. And then all of a sudden on Friday, kind of news broke that there was going to be a change of plea hearing set for Monday. And on Monday, she walked into court and pled guilty as charged.
And even her former attorney, Patrick Griego, has said that this, you know, that this was a triable case in his eyes. And
yeah, he's been pretty staunch since the beginning that he feels like it's a very defensible case and there's a lot of flaws in the prosecution's case.
Interesting. So first of all, it's not exactly over at this point, right?
No, definitely not over. There's a lot of questions as to what potential sentence she could face. And she didn't get a plea deal. That's kind of a misconception that's out there. She, in courthouse parlance, she ate the sheet, which means she just pled guilty up and down to everything she was charged with. So she was charged with four counts and then about, I think, six special allegations. And she admitted them all and pled guilty to them all. But the judge kind of conditioned her plea on getting somewhat of a mitigated sentence. And in California, for felony counts, you're either charged with a minimum term, a midterm, or a maximum term. And so he kind of couched saying, if I give you anything above the midterm, so if I give you a maximum sentence in this case, I'll give you the chance to take your plea back and go to trial if you choose.
And it sounds like the prosecution is, I shouldn't say not on board with this, but it sounds like from your coverage,
From what they've maintained to us, they have never made an offer in this case. So they've never said, if you plead guilty, we'll agree to a lesser sentence or we'll knock off some of the charges or anything like that. Yeah. They've been staunch that the case is charged.
And the public perception here is still that you know, is against kind of the grain of what's happening right now, you think?
Yeah, I think there's a gap between the public perception and just California sentencing law for crimes like this. California treats quote-unquote accidental crimes much differently than intentional ones. And so it's something I've run into over and over again in covering vehicular manslaughter cases, is there's always this public perception that the defendant is getting off easy, that the punishments aren't in line with what they should be.
Well, I'll speak as one of those public perceptors that if someone is driving under the influence and kills somebody, is that an accident? I mean, is that a...
I think that's a very fair question. It certainly, I've through my reporting, I've talked to folks from MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Driving, who have kind of taken me to task for using the term accident with DUI collisions. And I think it's a valid point. But I would say that California law treats them very differently. Right. It definitely treats it as an accident.
That is what is in the law right now. Wow. Wow, what's next on that case?
So on September 4th, there is a hearing to determine whether Marcy Kitchen can remain free on bail pending her sentencing hearing. hearing, which is set for September 18th, or whether she needs to be remanded into custody and taken into jail until that sentencing date. And then on September 18th, she'll be sentenced. And so there's a little bit of discrepancy between what the prosecution and the defense feels her maximum exposure in the case is. The defense says it's 10 years, 4 months, and the prosecution feels like it's 11 years. Ultimately, that's the judge, Caleb Cochran, will decide what the appropriate sentence is. I think it's important for people to recognize also that, you know, even if she gets that max sentence that the prosecution feels is allowable of 11 years, she won't go to prison for 11 years. With good conduct credits, she'll end up serving substantially less than that.
Oh, wow.
So, and actually under Proposition 57, which voters passed, I think, a couple of years ago, a vehicular manslaughter charge is treated as a nonviolent felony. So she'll actually only, assuming she, you know, is a good inmate in prison, she would only serve a third of her term. So even if she gets that max sentence of 11 years, she would probably be released after 3 years, 8 months.
My gosh. Okay, well, I did not make that law, so I guess I don't get to comment on it, but I guess people want to change it. They need to talk to legislators, but yeah, that is the law.
That is the law, and I think that's something important for people to, you know, with the fervor that's around this case and the outrage, I think it's important for people to recognize that this isn't the judge taking a lenient stance on Marcy Kitchen or the prosecution taking a lenient stance. This is just what state law is.
Right. Thank you, Thad. Jennifer, I just made a huge sound in the studio. Did everybody hear that?
He hit me.
Yeah, no.
It was traumatic.
I did run into you, though, the Humboldt County
Fair. Not physically, but yes. Not
physically, and you had something in front of you that...
I did.
We'll call it less than appetizing.
It was slightly smaller than a baby. It was a deep-fried Twinkie.
It was.
And
most certainly was. You offered it to me. I politely declined.
Yeah, I saw real fear in your eyes.
All that.
So we went back to the fair. We did a thing a few years ago where we ranked fair food according to how tasty it was, how much of a fair-only experience it was, and whether it was a deal, and also whether it would give you fair tummy.
Mm.
But there were a few things that we didn't...
I still have fair tummy.
Yeah. There were a few things that we didn't try that day. A few new items, a few things that we just didn't get to because, my God, we're only human. But so I went back to sort of write about those and looked into the giant curly fries, the deep fried Twinkie, and what was the last thing?
Cheese on a stick.
And after reading it, I think those three could have easily been left off the first article, and I understand why.
They're none of them my picks.
The curly fries always have a half inch of grease. This is not, surprisingly, though, this is not the North Coast Journal cover story. Amazingly,
no, it's not.
That's not it. What it's is
I think
cover
you got
story?
Robbed, because personally.
You got robbed.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That story was too big and had to be silenced.
That's okay for the next censorship issue next year.
Right?
This is
what
one.
We'll talk about.
Yeah.
The real news is being
suppressed. I should not make light of that. I am really sorry to everyone.
I'm going to get that letter, believe me.
Me too.
So we have a fantastic cover story by a freelancer, Alexander Woodard, and he wrote our cover story, which is called Art in the Streets, and it is about the Eureka Street Art Festival
which grew like a mushroom.
Yes.
Probably not. Probably it took years of planning. And then just this amazing thing happened.
Yeah. There were a couple of murals that came in to the apparent enjoyment of many people and the apparent hate of many people.
Heard it.
But they came in down into Old Town, very close to the Black Fawn Gallery. They were the ones that sponsored that. And then, they started talking about doing a festival of murals, of, art in the streets, public art. And that kind of took off. And Black Fawn, Humboldt Cider Company... there was a lot of help from the city of Eureka, and then there were a few dozen other sponsors. There were lots of people who either gave money or gave help. In the city of Eureka gave staff time, not cash, so that's not your tax dollars at work, not directly anyway. There was, I think, Scrapper's Edge gave them help with like printing flyers and things like that. Some people just gave them
materials.
Discounts. Yeah, they got help with the... the scaffolding and the, what do they call them? The man lifts, the buckets that you're raised up in. And they got some painters. And all the painters, by the way, have been paid.
I was going to ask that. I was passing by the, I believe, Econo Lodge, which is the only one out of Old Town.
Right.
And I thought, oh gosh, I hope this person got paid.
Yeah.
This is beautiful and it's also huge.
It's huge. And some of the people were paid in cash. Some were paid in barter. So they might have gotten rent or studio space paid. It's all really interesting how they kind of wheeled
this event deals. Already happened. Why is it the cover story of the North Coast Journal?
Well, it's the cover story because, for one thing, it's kind of neat. Alexander went and talked to some of the artists while they were working. And so we have three different interviews with five people. And they are all talking about why they made what they made, how they did it, what the experience was like. And they're all really thrilled to be taking part. Plus, we have an online slideshow. So if you are too busy/lazy to tour around Eureka, you can kind of click through the slideshow and see what there is.
And like me, I wanted to go, but I was looking at a Twinkie at the fair.
Yeah.
And I didn't get to go.
The Twinkie, you really can't do much.
No. Yeah. On the couch for a week. So you get to experience the festival and get to talk to the artists vicariously.
Yes, and we have our version of their mural map. The Street Festival's website has a mural map too, but we have a handy one in the paper so you can take a stroll around Old Town and look for them.
Well, guys, thank you so much for coming on and doing this live with me and the North Coast Journal's on the stands right now.
It is.
Thanks for having us.
And Jennifer Famico Cahill, thanks for being on the KHSU Magazine.